Many years ago, a long time ago, I knew an Episcopal clergyman by the name of Archie Stapleton, and he fancied himself to be quite a preacher. I'm not sure whether that was actually true or not, but he gave it his try. And every Sunday morning, he would come up to the pulpit, the ambo, and normally he would preach on the gospel. But sometimes he just couldn't find anything he wanted to preach on. And so you could see that he went to the second reading, especially when it came from Paul, and he would delve the gold mine of St. Paul. But on occasion, he couldn't find anything in the Gospel or St. Paul, but a verse out of the Psalm would catch his undivided attention. And if that didn't happen, then you could see him going to the Old Testament lesson, the first reading, as we say. But when he was in real trouble, and nothing had come to him all week, he'd go to that first prayer, what we call the collect, because it draws us together. It collects us, that very first prayer that I just said from the altar. He'd go to the collect of the day, and then you knew that it was going to be a long 20 minutes. A very long 20 minutes. But I have figured out that many Catholic priests follow the same pattern. Except rather than going to the collect of the day, they will begin a homily with the words, "According to the Catechism." And then you knew nothing had struck Father all week long. So I began my homily this morning, "According to the Catechism of the Catholic Church." The Epiphany, the Feast of the Epiphany, the celebration of the Epiphany, is the manifestation of Jesus as Messiah of Israel, Son of God, Savior of the world. The great feast of the Epiphany celebrates the adoration of Jesus by the three wise men, the three magi, the three kings, as we sang in the opening hymn this morning. The words all mean the same. And we're not even sure that there were three exactly until that great hymn was written, "We Three Kings of Orient Are." They come from the east, probably from Persia, which in the news this morning would be modern day Iran. We also roll into this season of Epiphany, Jesus' baptism in the River Jordan, and his manifestation of himself through his first miracle in Cana of Galilee, where he turned the water into wine. In the Magi, representatives of neighboring pagan religions, the gospel sees the first fruits of all the nations who welcome the good news of salvation through the incarnation, what we celebrated on Christmas, the incarnation. The Magi is coming to Jerusalem in order to pay homage to the King of the Jews, shows that they seek in Israel, in the messianic light of the Star of David, the one who will be the King of all nations. Their coming means that pagans can discover Jesus and worship him as Son of God and Savior of the world only by turning towards the Jews and receiving from them the messianic promise as contained in the Old Testament. The Epiphany shows that the full number of the nations, the world, now takes its place in the family of the patriarchs of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and acquires the dignity of Israel. It's made worthy of the heritage of the nation of Israel. One of our good bishops, Bishop Anthony Taylor, explains the background of the Magi, the three kings. We'll go with the video script. The three kings, the Magi, the wise men, and the significance of the gifts that they brought to Jesus. These Magi were astrologers, not astronomers, but astrologers. Their job was to decipher what the stars had to say about current and future events. One day there appeared a star whose movements did not fit into their tables and into their graphs. Oh, they had a very scientific scientific idea about how the sun and the moon and the stars all moved and pointed to the future. This star behaved so strangely that it just had to be announcing something truly big. And so they began to follow it wherever it led. As they followed that star westward toward Jerusalem, they soon realized that this amazing star had to be announcing that the Jews' long-awaited Messiah had finally been born. It had to be him. There was no other explanation. The word Epiphany means manifestation, showing forth. Think of it as a bride who's trying to figure out which is the right dress to wear on her wedding day. And so she goes to the back and she puts it on, and then she comes out to show her bridesmaids, her sisters, her mother, her future mother-in-law, the manifestation of the dress, the showing forth. We want people to say yes to Jesus and not to the dress. It's okay. I thought that was a pretty good line. The word Epiphany means the showing forth. And today, through the Magi, the identity of the Messiah and his fate are revealed in the very first time. But how did they know to bring along gifts of gold, frankincense, and especially myrrh? Now, if you were listening to the first reading, the Old Testament lesson, it talks about gold and frankincense. Where did that myrrh come from? You see, all three of these gifts are not typical gifts for a new mother and a new baby. The gold and the frankincense revealed the identity of the Messiah and fulfill what Isaiah prophesied in today's first reading. Caravans of camels, he writes, from Midian and Ephah, all from Sheba, shall come bearing gold and frankincense and proclaiming the praises of the Lord. What does the gold and frankincense say about Jesus and his identity? That he is king, that he is God. Gold for the Messiah, King of the Jews, Christ the King of the universe. An incense with which to worship this Messiah as God, the second person of the Holy Trinity. But what does this myrrh say about Jesus' fate? Gets a little somber here, my friends. The myrrh shows forth that Jesus will die. Myrrh was used to anoint bodies for burial. That though immortal and eternal as God, this Messiah will embrace death in order to save us. And that unlike any other king, this Messiah's throne will be a cross. And his crown, well, it will be made of thorns. He will be dressed in royal purple and proclaimed king only by those whose job it is to torture him, who in mockery hung above his head the words, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And oftentimes you see it on a cross, the initials, I-N-R-I. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. These are the torturers whom Jesus forgave, for whom also he died, for whom also he came to save. So it's real simple. The gold is for a king. The incense is for God. And the myrrh, because he will die to save us and the whole world. Amen.